Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Bundesliga show brought to you by Over the Bar. We are back for yet another a review show, this time reviewing match week six of the Bundesliga. Feels like the season is very, very old for us to only be reviewing match week six. It feels like it's been going on for a long while, and we're well into our stride, but only six Bundesliga matches in. So yeah, loads to look back on. From this weekend, been some interesting results, some stellar ties, and to enjoy it all with me is Mark and Peter. How are you both doing this evening?
Yeah, not bad at all, my end. Yeah, just looking forward to the National Day in Germany tomorrow. So yeah, celebrations all in hand for that. And I'm sure you too, Peter.
Absolutely. Yes, I think we we can all use a bank holiday, as you pointed out.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, good stuff. So, as per usual, we'll be running with our featured four segment, four brilliant games to review and look back on, a little bit of best of the rest. So, looking at all the other games that we haven't covered in slightly lesser detail. And of course, we'll finish off with a bit of fun with our kiosk club. And yes, I am wearing a Darmstadt shirt to celebrate their first win of the season. So, well done to Darmstadt. Very, very well done. They maybe started to get a little bit nervous even at 4-0 up, but anyway, we'll talk about that in a little while. So yeah, without further delay, and just a little bit of housekeeping as per, please do smash a like on the video, give that thumbs up, comment along if you're watching live or if you're watching afterwards, and get your thoughts across about how your team is doing, or if you've got any comments or questions for the chaps. And of course, press that red button and subscribe, keeping us on this trajectory upwards of 1K and beyond. That would be fantastic. Thank you all so much. So we'll obviously kick off the countdown in reverse order as per usual with our fourth place game. Mark, if you can do the honours to remind ourselves of what the fourth place game is that we've chosen for this week. And it was very important and rare away win for Borussia Mönchengladbach this weekend, chaps. And well, I hate to say it, Mark, but I think Alisson Player had a had something to prove, and he maybe took your comments to heart because he had a stellar tie, in getting the away side off the mark. Well, off the mark with a lovely assist, the cutback for Florian Neuhaus to run onto a very calmly side foot past Reimann in net for 1-0. A lovely move. Some lovely work by Luka Netz down the left-hand side as well to win the ball back high up the pitch to get Gladbach 1-0 up just before the half an hour mark. And then lo and behold, Alisson Player would go on and get his first goal of the game via a corner, an outswinging corner, flicked on via Werber, I believe it was, and Alisson Player unmarked at the back post to nod home to make it 2-0. And well, we can probably say job was done for the travelling Gladbach side as Alisson Player went on a mazy run to cut inside, have a go at goal, got maybe the smallest of deflections, which helped it on its way in for 3-0. And well, despite a spirited effort in the second half, chaps, Bolcombe couldn't, come all the way back. To certainly looked like they were, giving it a right good go with Lossia getting the first of their comeback goals and having one chalked off. And there were so many shots in this match. I think there were nearly 50 shots in the entire match. Yeah, I think Bolcombe had 18 off target at least. So it was certainly not one for being goal shy. But Mark, I'll start with you. What do you reckon? It's hard to know what to expect from Gladbach because I think this could have easily have been 3-0 to Bolcombe based on Bolcombe being strong at home, Gladbach not travelling very well, and we don't often know where to start with Gladbach. So what did you make of this? And were you impressed with that man Alisson Player returning to form and getting some needed goals?
Yeah, I think I tipped a draw for this game, actually. I felt as though Bolcombe had have enough at home to kind of hold Gladbach. But, I mean, especially in the first half, it was just extremely one-sided, I found. I mean, I felt that Gladbach just completely dominated tactically. They looked like a better side, a bigger side, and they were just really dominant. And for me, it was that man Florian Neuhaus who was actually the standout, even more than player. I felt as though he was really, really good. You know, he got the first goal, which was really, really well finished, despite the good build-up play from player. I felt as though his breakup play as well for the third goal, he started that really, really nice breakaway with Jordan and obviously a player eventually finishing off. I just felt as though, you know, we've not seen that much of him for probably about a year really now, Neuhaus. I feel as though we've not seen his best form for a long time. That's the way I see it anyway. And he seems to be forming a decent axis with Wright as well. He looks quite a half-decent player. They actually look quite similar as well, ironically, which is quite a funny point. But yeah, it's quite hard to tell which is which in some ways. But both of them look like a decent axis in that midfield with obviously Weigl playing a little bit deeper and providing, you know, the protection for that relatively dodgy defence. I will say that much for Gladbach. But, I mean, I did feel as though this was their best performance of the season, you know, right from the very start. I think Nets played well. He's a player that I've always liked, Nets, actually, at left-back. And I felt as though he'd always kind of been hard done by a little bit at the club. But, you know, he's starting to get picked on a regular basis now. He was really good. And, you know, player, obviously, his first goal since November last year, which is just pretty incredible because I remember, Rory, when we started doing this show in 2020, like, he was one of the guys we mentioned every week alongside Marcus Thuram, wasn't he? Like, we seem to be talking about him every week. I think that season he got about 15 goals, but it's been a long, long time since we've talked about him on a regular basis. But, I mean, it's incredible, really. He scored one, and then just 5 minutes later, he gets his second, you know, after going 11 months without a goal, which is quite ironic, basically. But, obviously, he's been on relatively poor form for a long time. But, yeah, credit to Seoane and Gladbach. I mentioned on the prediction show that I'm not sure which way their season's going to go, but I think they've been a lot better than what the results have suggested, and they do seem to be getting a bit of, you know, consistency in their lineup now. As I say, I do like that kind of midfield at the moment, at least. Honorat is a little bit up and down. Like, you know, he takes a lot of shots, but he's not scored yet. And he looks like the kind of guy that if he can get one goal or a couple of assists, then he'll really kind of kick off with his form. But just at the moment, he's a little bit hot and cold. But yeah, a lot of Gladbach's season is going to depend on player or Jordan and or Jordan like starting to score more goals from attack because, you know, basically Gladbach for so many years have been a side that have always scored a lot of goals from the attackers, you know, Thuram, player in his best days. So many good strikers have had over the years. You know, obviously Kvan Char as well, who missed this game, is another one who is going to have possibilities in that side. But I think things are looking relatively okay for Gladbach. They've got a decent few fixtures coming up. They play Mainz at home next, which is a game that they'll expect to win comfortably as well for their potentially their first home win of the season. But yeah, I think things aren't that bad for Gladbach, and I do expect them to start picking up more wins as we head into winter.
Yeah, I mean, even looking at Gladbach's bench from the weekend as well, obviously you mentioned Chavan Charder, who started on the bench. You've got Friedrich, who obviously we haven't seen the best from just yet. Robin Hack, who we still not seen much from as well in that kind of attacking it. And we haven't even seen Kone come back into the team yet either. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you talked about the midfield axis as well, you know, that's an interesting one. Ngumu has obviously been up and down, but has played a good amount of minutes with Gladbach as well this season. He was on the bench and Joe Scally as well. So, and, you know, they're missing their first choice keeper as well in Jonas Omlin. So, yeah, you kind of feel that naturally Gladbach season will come to a, you know, to a degree of mid-season-ness and they will surprise us with certain results and they'll shock us with other shocking results. But they do score goals. But anyway, Peter, we've had a little bit of a, you know, a focus there on Gladbach. Did you spot anything from Bolcom that was maybe be something for them to take in a positive context? Or, you know, I mentioned earlier, just introducing the game, that they certainly had a lot of shots and they had a spirited second half as well and obviously couldn't quite, you know, get a comeback to maybe get a point. What were your thoughts on Bolcom particularly?
Well, there was an early injury to Matos Bero, who was off at seventh, and Christopher Andrea-Jay had to come in as a sort of placeholder 10. I thought he did reasonably well in that regard. And then he was moved out to the wing when Lukas Daschner came on to play as the 10 at the half. Lech is having problems with these wingbacks. Wingbacks, Vitek and Pasliak, both of them sort of lower league German veterans. Pasliak, a former Borussia Dortmund Zwei player and loan out. Yeah. Vitek is one of his guys that he got from Vitesse Arnhem. So is Berbo, by the way. You pointed out that they had a spirited second half and they had plenty of shots, not all of them on target. The top two striker axis there of Philipp Hoffmann and Takuma Sano is always going to have potential. Daschner can play as a 10, of course. Mm-hmm. They have brought in Goncalo Paciencia, the old Frankfurt man from the Buffelhörde, who could potentially score off of the bench this season. So they have another option back there. You know, I tipped Bochum to win this one and was quite surprised, as you alluded to see Gladbach do it without Kvankar and without Kone in the lineup. But they did it very well. Mark mentioned that Luka Netz, probably that's the best I've ever seen him play since he moved from Hertha. Netz stay together. Let's keep these tactics that we have together. Because they actually work very well with Weigl as the bolt lock sweeper, Honorat out there on the wing. I would take Kvankar over Jordan there. Mm. You know, we were talking about them first match day of the season. And I was saying, oh, this French access of Ngumu, Plea, and Honorat, oh, it's got such potential. It still does. And you brought up the fixture lists there, Mainz, Köln, Heidenheim, both in the league and in the Pokal, we just found out last night. Mm. So I believe my prediction for them now is that they can pick up momentum. With respect to Bochum, I still see a lot of potential on that side. I mean, it's been back-to-back disasters now, so they have to do something rather drastic. But I don't know. There's a mystique surrounding Bochum. They are known as the Unabsteigbaren, the unrelegatable of 1848ers, the Revier Club are. And I still am not prepared to give up hope on them. I'm not going to write them off just yet.
No, very rightly. We would be silly to write anyone off six games into this delightfully long season ahead of us. So, but yeah, work for Bochum to do after a couple of tough weekends. So we shall move on to our third game in our lineup. So this of course was the Friday night fixture, Hoffenheim versus Dortmund. And you know, always watch the Friday night game is the tagline, isn't it? And you know, my two delightful co-hosts had the pleasure of witnessing it in person. So I will gladly pass over, you know, to you chaps, maybe to just kind of talk us through, well, the atmosphere in general. Then we can maybe get to the match. Of course, we'll be mentioning vlog type things as well in the days and weeks to come. But start with you, Peter. How did you enjoy your experience on Friday night?
Well, we'll be looking forward to publishing that vlog. Don't want to spoil it too much for our viewers, of course. But what Mark and I have aimed to do with our match day vlogs is provide something different every time. We attended a women's football match, German women's national team match there in Fürth. And we went to the Sacred Betze. And what we're prepared to show you with our trip to Hoffenheim is a lot of people are curious about what the atmosphere in Hoffenheim is, and we'll show it to you. We'll go into great depth there. This was an excellent match to watch live, irrespective of what we're going to show you atmospherics wise in the stadium. It was a match that got a lot of coverage in the German press, incredibly detailed coverage that I was happy to read about on Saturday morning and things like that. Hoffenheim were probably the superior team from open play, and they also had a man advantage in the final 20 minutes after Rami Bensebaini was sent off on double yellows. But it was known as sort of a comedy of errors in the German press, because there were so many errors. And an error led to every Dortmund goal. The first one, Ilas Bebu, who was a sort of working as the makeshift wing back there in Pavel Kadejabek's absence, threw the ball back to John Anthony Brooks, even though, and Pellegrino Matarazzo is quoted as saying this, it was agreed upon that he would throw the ball forward. So Pellegrino Matarazzo, yeah, he has chided his own player for throwing the ball back to Brooks. Brooks did not see the pressing Brandt coming. Brandt took the ball off of him and serviced Niklas Füllkrug. A little bit later, Brandt, after, of course, Andre Kramaric converted a penalty off of a Matt Hummels tackle that was suspiciously just on the line there. It was once again, Brandt and Malin, who were able to skirt past Skov, Bebu, who were committing marking errors. And then the final one, the final goal, which is something that everybody needs to check out. Julian Riason took the ball off of Bebu, ran down half of the pitch, where whilst Florian Grillitsch and Bebu could not agree on who was supposed to mark him. So this was somewhat embarrassing for Hoffenheim in that respect. And with that, I'll turn it over to Mark, and he can tell you something as well.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think from a tactical perspective, I agree that I remember saying to you at the time, Peter, that I felt as though Hoffenheim had the better system for a lot of the time, especially in midfield. I really enjoyed the performance of Grisha Prömel, who was unlucky not to equalise at 2-1 to a brilliant kind of almost like a double save, really, from Cobell. He saved it once and then it looked like it still beat him, and then somehow he managed to save it again with his foot. So yeah, that looked amazing. That was actually the far end to where we were sitting. It was an amazing save, and you could see it at the time as well. And then just a few minutes after that, Robert Skov bent a beautiful free kick on the underside of the bar. That was really, really unlucky. I mean, if that had ended up 2-2 at that stage, I feel as though Hoffenheim could even have won the game. I really do, because by that point, they were the better side, but that seemed to knock the stuffing out of them a little bit. And ironically, the red card for Benzer Baini was actually a turning point for Dortmund, incredibly, which was a really strange thing. I mean, I think I said to you that Pellegrino, in my opinion, Pellegrino Matarazzo made quite a lot of mistakes at that point. Like, he threw on too many attackers. He threw on Bulta. He threw on Berisha, and it was just all a little bit too much chaos. And basically, like, Dortmund realized they could just sit back and just kind of see the game out. There were a couple of really, really good challenges from Schlotterbeck in there. It's good to see him making a bit of a return to form. But for me, tactically, yeah, I believe that for long periods that the Hoffenheim side were the better team. And, you know, when you watch it live, you realize just how much quality they have in midfield. You know, Stach was fantastic. Grisha Prömel, I really like him as well. You know, I think he's a player that he's going to have a big season. Obviously missed a lot of last season through injury, which was unfortunate, but I feel as though he's going to have a real good season. For me, as you mentioned, I think Dortmund's victory was on the back of some errors, particularly from Bebu, who didn't have his best game, let's be honest. I mean, what was he doing throwing that ball back to Brooks? You know, at the time when you were watching it live, you thought Brooks had made a howler. But when you watch the replay, it's more of a mistake from Bebu for me. Because to throw the ball in that precarious a position at that speed, geez, yeah, what's he doing, you know? And, like, obviously Brooks is a bit of a fan favourite. And myself and Peter both gave him a standing ovation when he left the field after 87 minutes. But it will go down as an error from him, but some of his defending in the second half, particularly on set plays, is just incredible. Like, that head is just a magnet for a heading a football, isn't it? I think there was one point around about 80 minutes where he headed away about, I think, 2 free kicks and 2 corners in the space of 5 minutes, which was quite a spectacle right in front of myself and Peter watching. But yeah, I think good win for Dortmund at the end of the day. You know, some individual brilliance from Marlon on that second goal. He had a really good performance. I would say he was the best player individually for Dortmund. Füllkrug didn't really do that much apart from the goal. He took the goal well, but I still don't feel as though he's completely settled into this Dortmund side. And it does seem to be a problem for Dortmund at the minute, because Allaire did nothing in the game in the first 4 games. And now Füllkrug, despite getting the goal, they don't seem to be getting the number 9s involved in the games, you know, which is a worry for a Dortmund side who have always had free scoring number 9s, haven't they? So Still work to do for Dortmund tactically, but, you know, it's 4 wins and 2 draws for them. So it's by far from a crisis. You know, they're going pretty well in the season, only 2 points off Leverkusen at the top. So, yeah, everything's fine for them. But I still feel as though tactically they need to evolve and find a real system that works for them at the moment.
Yeah. Well, yeah, some good points there. Yeah, I think Dortmund, they're not yet to hit their stride, but the fact that they're doing so 6 games in and importantly, 2 points behind, getting these sort of wins. I loved, you know, Riason's goal, just summarised him as a player, I think, just the sheer determination, you know, bloody mindedness. You're not getting this ball off me. Beibu tracks him, but he doesn't make the tackle. And then to Meggs, Bauman at the end was spectacular. While I was watching the game, and obviously the Sky Sports commentary team were doing the game, and they were lauding Bauman as being, you know, this really regular, top level Bundesliga keeper, just before he spills the ball for Royce to bang in for 2-1. So talk about, you know, the kiss of death. Had Donny Marlon as well. One thing that I didn't notice, did you see Donny Marlon knock over? I can't remember which player it was. Before he makes the cross,
yeah,
like physicality, like 99, like yeah. Fair play to him, you know, as he got the pace he can take on a man, but showing that strength was, I thought, was excellent.
It was Stach, I believe.
There you go. He'll not live that down for a while. But you know, good win for Dortmund, still rosy in the garden for them. Hoffenheim, yeah, they'll be disappointed, I think, but they still played some good footy. Interesting point you made, Mark, I think, about bringing on the two strikers. I didn't really see much of Berisha at all when he came on, I must admit. So still maybe yet to see the fruits of that transfer. But he's such a quality player, you expect him to come good for Hoffenheim as well. Excellent game, and you'll have a delightful vlog to all look forward to, but we shan't go more into that, and you can all just watch it and soak it up and enjoy as and when that comes out. So we shall gladly move on to our second game of the countdown. And this was probably the top game of the weekend from a casual Bundesliga point of view. RB Leipzig hosting the champions Bayern. It was a very, very impressive and quick start from Leipzig. Well, pending the quick thinking of Harry Kane to play in Musiala very, very early on, to which Leipzig just about got away with, thanks to a good save from Blaswich. After that, though, Leipzig, I thought, pressed really well, had great amounts of energy. I think both teams pressed quite well. And at times, both teams struggled to get out of the press, and that's where some chances were made. Obviously, you saw there was a chance for Emil Forsberg to shoot into an open net after some sloppy play from Bayern at the back. I think Konrad Leimer is involved in that, in his seemingly settled position of right back. But, you know, there'll be more on that position switch as we go through the season, no doubt. And, Leipzig got their eventual deserved goal through Luis Openda, speeding through thanks to a lovely through ball from Schlager, who had a really impressive game in the midfield for Leipzig, really industrious and a bit of quality there. Maybe a bit of fortune for Openda's finish because it maybe deflected off Kim Min-jae. That was for 1-0. And then the second goal, of course, is a goalkeeper error coming out for a corner, not missing and flapping at it, comes off Openda, and then for Lukba to smash in for 2-0. And then you're thinking, well, righty-ho, we've got a right old opportunity for Leipzig to get the win. But as the game went on, and then, you know, we have the standard penalty for Benjamin Henrichs, I'll come to you both on this. Do we think it's sloppy play in this modern day and age from Benjamin Henrichs, from the point of view of sticking your elbow out from a free kick? Any excuse to give Bayern a footing in a match is not good. And you know, obviously Harry Kane does the rest and the momentum switches therefore after. Mark, first of all, I mean, in this day and age, it's a penalty, isn't it? So do you think it's sloppy play from Henrikx in the wall?
Yeah, extremely sloppy. Yeah, like these are the fine details that ultimately decide these kind of games. And as you mentioned, after a good start from Bayern, they finished the half really poorly. And to be honest, you know, if it wasn't for the offside, a very narrow offside, it could have been a red card for Ulreich as well when he pulled down Openda. So, I mean, it was really the half was finishing absolutely woefully, and they hadn't really done that much at the beginning of the second half. And then just a kind of opportunistic free kick like that, there was no danger, and you can't put your hand up that high. It was a penalty at the end of the day, and it was just poor play from Henrikx, who's these kind of moments, as we mentioned, this is absolutely key in football matches, you know. And in my opinion, if he hadn't done that, Leipzig would probably have won the game, in truth, you know, because I don't think Bayern were doing enough at that particular point. And, you know, they might have got a goal, but it could well have been too late by that point when they got back into it. And that kind of, you know, put a few nerves into Leipzig, and Bayern had the best period of the match, obviously equalising through a good goal through Sané shortly after that. I mean, still more chance as well from Leipzig to go on and win it. But yeah, that was the turning point ultimately. And it was sloppy play from Henrikx, who, by the way, has started the season really well.
Yeah.
And he has been very, very good. But yeah, this is the kind of moment that you can't get by in that kind of opportunity. And actually, Blažević was really unlucky not to save it too. He got right across and he kind of got a big hand onto it and pushed it into the side netting, basically inside the goal. But yeah, I felt as though Leipzig played well. You know, they played really well. They really seem to be, you know, getting the better of Bayern Munich these days. They know how to play them. They seem to be, you know, Bayern really fear this Leipzig team. You do feel that these days, you know. And they probably should have had the third win of 2023 against Bayern Munich, in truth. But I felt as though Bayern, again, what they always have is character. This Bayern Munich team is just oozing with character. You know, they never know when they're beaten. And you did have the feeling, I was actually driving home from Heidelberg at the time when that goal went in. And I felt as though, yeah, this is going to be, Bayern are going to equalise now, basically. And sure enough, they did shortly after. But yeah, I feel as though it's probably a chance miss for Leipzig. But one thing that I thought is that Bayern Munich, they're not having it all their own way against these big teams anymore in the Bundesliga. Like, for so many years, you know, they used to blow away Dortmund every time they played. They were blowing away Leverkusen, you know. But this last year or so, it's changed a lot. And I feel as though teams like Leverkusen, Leipzig, and even Dortmund in the last couple of meetings have really started to, you know, they're starting to show what they can do against this Bayern Munich team. And I still believe that Leipzig and Leverkusen have got every chance of lifting that Bundesliga title come May next year.
Yeah, I mean, there was chances for Leipzig late on as well. We talk about the momentum. Bayern obviously had it, and there was chances at both ends, but particularly the chance for Fabio Carvalho to cross it for substitute Sesko, and he got it wrong ultimately. He put too much pace on it, and he put it, you know, a fairly uneasy height to put in. And then there's the opportunity where Xavi plays Sesko in, and he doesn't get it around Ulreich, going full on Manuel Neuer, you know, charging out a net. It pays off, but if he rounds in, then it's an open net and it's 3-2, mm-hmm. Game over. Yeah, Peter, thoughts on this game? As you say, Bayern always give you a chance to, in terms of scoring goals, it seems these days.
Well, it was an absolute Topspiel. You mentioned the fact that the opening goal did deflect in off of Min-jae Kim. That was somewhat unfortunate. And the second goal that came off of a corner probably was not a corner. So Bayern were a little bit unlucky in the first half. I think prior to the Leipzig goals, with the exception of Forsberg trying to catch Ulreich off his line, Leipzig weren't creating anything. Bayern looked very, very fluid in their 4-2-3-1. Kimmich maybe going a little bit rogue. I think that Thomas Tuchel was not very happy with his skipper. You could tell that if you read between the lines in some of his post-match comments, because he talked about resetting and going to simpler tactics in the second half, which was still a 4-2-3-1, as far as I could tell, you know, with Guerrero in midfield there replacing Goretzka. And, Yeah, I think you put it very well when you talk about the foothold. It wasn't until that penalty was awarded that Bayern really got their motivation back, I would have to say. And when they did, I mean, that counterplay on Sané's goal with Musiala, I mean, they took on six freaking Leipzig markers. I mean, those guys, Musiala, when he is, and he's had some troubles with his confidence, he's a very young lad, very, very young lad. But I mean, he is never afraid to take on everyone and anyone if he's really feeling it. And so, I mean, it was great to see him do that. I think he played an excellent game. I mean, it's good result for German football. I think a very important statistic now, this was billed as the big revenge match for the Super Cup humiliation, Dani Olmo's hat-trick just a few weeks prior. But, you know, this is now, Bayern have now gone four consecutive fixtures on the spin without a win against Leipzig. So that's a huge statement for the two-time DFB Pokal defending champions, who now fancy their chances at a title. They very much are title contenders. Another great match from Openda. Xavi is a player that we're all looking forward to watch. Schlager and Kampel, I mean, that is an excellent midfield access. Unfortunately, Kampel had to go off injured. And Schlager was the one who set up that first goal after, I think it was another throw-in error?
Yeah, I think it was, yeah.
Yeah, right. So, yeah, they have a championship-winning squad, also getting great stuff from the veterans, Emil Forsberg. Rune will be happy that I mentioned Yusuf Poulsen. Incredible that he's hardworking, starting above Sesko. Mm-hmm. Those German fullbacks, they've been up and down. But I guess that's just what it's like if you're representing the Bundesrepublik these days. You can't be consistently good. It's just simply not allowed.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Really good game and enjoyable for everyone to watch. Few interesting stats. Leipzig, 16 goals after six Bundesliga match days, is a new club record for them. So interesting that they're free scoring, not missing. They are clearly missing, Nkunku and Co. But good to see that they're still got all that quality at the top of the pitch. It's not making them suffer too much. And Harry Kane, he's breaking records, isn't he? Mainly from the penalty spot, I guess. But he's the first Bayern player in history to score eight goals after his first six Bundesliga appearances. So our Harry is doing pretty well in the Bundesliga, as we would all suspect. So we shall again move on. There is a few comments / questions from Balam in the chat, so maybe we'll come to them in a second. Let's just talk about our top game of the weekend and see how much time we have after that. As you can see, it's not a tribute, but a well done, a pat on the back to Darmstadt, who have got their first Bundesliga win of the season. So crucially, with their form at home, going 4-0 up against Werder, who have now lost 4-2 to both the newly promoted sides, which is quite something else. Not hitting their straps themselves. We'll maybe come on to Werder in a second, chaps, but Darmstadt, have made quick starts to a lot of their games actually so far this season. Obviously, they rushed ahead against Gladbach. They went ahead against Stuttgart. They got level with Leverkusen. That one thing to clearly see is that they're well on the ball. They're not chasing games. It's often, them doing the opposite in anything else of being caught up by teams. Really good first goal scored by Bader at the back post. Lovely cross by Malem to make it 1-0. Some really good work. And that was obviously Darmstadt off to an absolute flyer. It's 2-0 shortly after that. A lovely ball from Nürnberger, one of Mark's favourites, who pushed, Skarka beats the offside trap, you know, no Werder defender in sight, but still has a lot of work to do from a tight angle, and whips it across Pavlenka for 2-0. Really good finish there. 2-0 at the break. You're thinking, okay, well, we've seen Darmstadt in this position before. Can they see it out? They get their third goal, of course, this time Malem getting the rewards of some really sloppy play by Werder from the back. I think it was Amos Pieper who gave away the ball, in his own third of the pitch. And it was picked up, and I think it was assisted by Badair to Malem, who is really cool in front of Pavlenka, sits him down with a little bit of a fade, and then pops it in for 3-0. You think, yeah, okay, yeah, we're getting there, but we've seen them in this position before, and there's still lots of time. But then we get 4-0, chaps, thanks to another VAR handball call, as Pieper was given against him from a Honsack effort. And Kempe, I have to say, it was not a good penalty. Scuffed it in, but they all count. So that made it 4-0, and you're thinking, right, we're home now. Darmstadt have done it. Well done to the newly promoted side. But some good play from Werder's, one of their most consistent performers. Weiser with a lovely cross finds the man at the back post. Really good header, actually, to make it 4-1. Thinking, okay, still plenty of time. Then some actually really nice play from Werder led to a second goal. Dusch managing to get into the area being released, and he squared it for Velkovic for 4-2. And then there was a couple of extra maybe worrying moments, particularly I think there was a chance for where Neymar lobs a pass to one of the substitutes who just heads straight at Schuin in nets, and that could have been 4-3 with a few minutes left, maybe a bit of nerves.
Konaki it was.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. And that probably, yeah, it should have been 4-3 really at that point. But Darmstadt held on for a famous and needed victory, chaps. Really enjoyable Sunday afternoon viewing this for the casual fan. I don't know really where to start with Werder. They're just completely not. I know we talked about them a few shows ago, and obviously off the back of their victory over Mainz, we were thinking, okay, yeah, we'll get, Santos Boré in the side, and you're looking a little bit stronger. Boré started this match and, featured here and there. Just Werder seemed really far off it, and I think you really start to be worried a bit about them slightly more, but we'll come to them in a second, and I'll come to you, Mark, firstly, on Darmstadt's performance, and they, getting themselves out ahead and crucially holding on this time for 3 points.
Yeah, superb Darmstadt, really. Big respect to them for their last two home performances. They learned from the mistakes. They almost didn't. Actually, they almost kind of committed the same mistake again, blowing a big lead at home after taking the lead. But, that there's starting to become some real consistent performers in this Darmstadt side. Obviously, no fewer than Marvin Malem, the midfielder. I actually did a bit of research on him. He is from Karlsruhe as well, by the way, Peter. So he's one of your... He actually came through the Karlsruhe system, and he's played since 2017 in Darmstadt. He was actually a youth international for Germany as well at under-19s level. But he's looking like a player that looks quality, actually. Like, his finishing is superb. Like, that's his third goal already in just 6 games. I think all of them coming at home as well. And he's looked like a real player, actually, so far. And, he gets assists, he gets goals. And, I'm starting to see a bit of a pattern of play coming from this Darmstadt side. It's very hectic. It's a little bit uncontrolled, but it's fun to watch. And I think, especially at home, they're becoming a real good side to watch in the last two home games, So definitely some credit to them. Skarka as well. He looks like a guy. His finish was beautiful for that second goal as well. And I'm starting to see Fabian Nürnberger come good as well the last two or three games, which is great to see. Still a little bit of doubt over your former man, Pfeiffer, Rory. I mean, I know you're not his biggest fan, but he's still yet to find the proverbial onion bag yet so far this season. And you start to wonder if he's ever going to find it, to be honest, after so long without a goal in the Bundesliga. I mean, has he ever actually scored a Bundesliga goal? I'm not sure, to be honest.
He didn't score for us. Yeah. He might have had one in years gone by, but I don't think so. Not from
Let us know, guys, in the comment. But it's definitely been a long, long time since he scored a Bundesliga goal. And he, in truth, but he, to be honest, he does look better in this Darmstadt side than he did in that Stuttgart side. And he looks like a player that, you know, does have some quality in his hold-up play. But I think most of the goals are going to be coming from that man, Malum and Skarke. I think they're going to be their most likely regular goal scorers if they have any this season. Defensively, you know, we've mentioned before Maglica and Clara. They're probably not the most Bundesliga standard defenders that I've ever seen. But, I mean, this is a team that works hard. They've got a great atmosphere in the Merckstadion as well. It looks an amazing atmosphere, that. Wow. Like, everybody standing, everybody wearing colours, and it looks like a partisan atmosphere in Darmstadt. And, you know, I mean, obviously, they've got Augsburg next up, and if they can sneak a win there, away from home, it's going to be really hard for them. They've been battered on most of their away days, and most teams are going to see that as a certain 3 points when Darmstadt travel away. But, you know, there is a few things I've seen in the last two or three games that made me think maybe it's not so definite that they're going to get relegated. And I think, you know, credit to them, because the first three games, they were absolutely dreadful, basically. And I was starting to really, really fear if they were ever even going to get a point, let alone a win. But the last three games has been good. And I think, you know, there's definitely a platform for them to build on under Lieberknecht. And I do believe that, you know, it's going to be a long season, but there's belief that they can at least compete at this level.
Yeah, 100%. Also, you know, I think statistically they're showing us a graphic that Darmstadt are the most threatening from free kicks as well, you know, which obviously is something. I think they've been looking quite weak from set pieces themselves, but also, you know, good down the other end, which is good. Peter, Werder, I mean, you know, they were passengers in this for a long time until they got that one goal back and felt that, yeah, we could maybe make a few Darmstadt fans quake in their boots for a little while. But, yeah, I mean, from my point of view, when I was watching it, I was not, thrilled by what they were doing.
Well, there was a bit of luck for Darmstadt shortly after the restart. I believe it was, I forget who shot it, but Gyasula and Schuhen, and it bounced off the post and off of Schuhen's back. So that could have been a 2-1, and you would have seen a different match. And then, of course, the 3-0, as you mentioned, it was Amos Pieper who yeah. made that horrible. I don't know what the hell he was thinking when he passed that ball directly into that. Former German youth international. People used to think that he should play for the German national team. Good old Amos Pieper from Bielefeld. You know, they do still have a lot of quality in this Bremen side. Boré, I don't know why he could not get involved. It seemed to me to be a little bit of overkill to yank him at the half. And Jinma and Voltamada, I mean, I would have given him a little bit more time. And Jinma actually set up the Werder goal there. Excellent work in midfield with a wonderful ball hold up, and then getting Weiser out there on the left flank. he was, I'd say, Jinma played really, really well. Good to see Olivier Desmond with that finish. That was also quite nice. Naby Keita was back on again, this time for 21 minutes and factored into the second goal. I believe he won a ball there in midfield. I picked Werder to win this one. I was incredibly worried about Darmstadt after the start to the season. I was starting to get Spielvereinigung Greuther Fürth from 21-22 vibes off of them. But they've got their first win, you know, some 9 match days before Fürth were able to get their first win. And now we have to shift the calculus. I thank Mark for bringing up Marvin Melhem. I am going to give a shout out to his boy Nürnberger again, who was actually a late addition to the lineup. I believe it was Karic penciled in to start, and Nürnberger came in at the last moment. We were talking about him quite a bit on match day 2. He's a player that catches the eye, particularly he rotates all the time on the flanks, creates all sort of space for his colleagues with his creativity and his movements. And the first goal began, well, it actually began with a win from Klaus Giasula, but then Nürnberger with a beautiful ball from the deep. Gotta love those. Yeah, just gotta love it when you're out there and you hit your colleagues with those perfect verticals. So congratulations to them. And I'm gonna give a plug. I strongly suggest that you gentlemen put the link to the interview that you did with the Darmstadt supporter in the show description, because we're celebrating Darmstadt after all. And of all of the ones that you guys did this off season, I thought that was your best work. So hopefully everybody can check that out as well, because it's a wonderful interview with a true German football community fan. So if you're interested in Darmstadt, you can also learn a little bit about how a Darmstadt supporter and how Germans support their football clubs in general.
Thank you very much for that, Peter. Well, yeah, we'll plug it and maybe do a bit of promo for that again on social media, because, yeah, it was great fun, wasn't it, Mark, doing having a sit down and having a chat all that time ago. It feels like a long time ago now. Fantastic stuff. So, yeah, that is our roundup of featured four. I'll just fly through the rest of the results from a headlines point of view, the best of the rest, and then we can finish with some delightful kiosk club fun. As expected, a thing we saw, Wolfsburg being too strong for a bit of a hapless Frankfurt. Jonas Wind getting two more goals. He's looking really good this season. And Mario Götze getting his marching orders for two yellow cards, a few red cards this weekend. Leverkusen, too strong for a free-falling Mainz. Own goal for Sepp Vandenberg after good work from Frimpong. Another delightful free kick from Grimaldo, who I just threw into my fantasy team at the right time. So well done, sir. And Hoffman as well, putting Mainz to bed. VfB Stuttgart, I mean, we haven't talked about them much today, but another win for the VfB boys. Brilliant stuff.
Dennis Undav.
Taking the pressure off Girassi with a double. Lovely stuff. For my lot, super sub fan, all round loveliness seeing Stuttgart up at the dizzy heights in that top four in second place. Amazing stuff. Heidenheim, another brilliant win for the newly promoted side over a really struggling Union side. Bester again, Mark's one of Mark's favourite new players, I think, of the season. Another delightful goal from a free kick to condemn Union to fifth straight defeat in competitive matches. And Freiburg getting the season kicked off a little bit more with a, not the prettiest of wins, but a Freiburg-type win, I would say. Grifo getting the early penalty from a very stupid tackle from Iago, and Leinhardt getting on the bullet header to make it 2-0 and keep Augsburg at bay. So they're your major headlines from the best of the rest. Just wanted to quickly run through those so that we've got plenty of time for Peter to enlighten us of for his kiosk club. So yes, I shall gladly pass over to you, Peter, for some fun headlines.
Well, first and foremost, I have a slight confession to make. I went to three kiosks on Sunday. It was actually Sunday afternoon, and could not get the Sportbild on Sonntag. It was already sold out because everybody obviously wanted to read what they had to say about the big Topspiel Bayern Leipzig, which ended in a 2-2 draw and was watched by probably virtually everyone in the Bundesrepublik. The Bild on Montag, today's Bild, is tearing Bayern a new one for potentially re-signing Jerome Boateng. It was revealed on Sunday that he is training with the reserves. And given the scandals that he's had to traverse this offseason, Bayern are being ripped a little bit for that. They're also being ripped in the kicker. As are Leipzig for Beben der Gipfel. Now, it's important to note that not only did we have a match on Saturday night between FC Bayern München and RB Leipzig, but RB Leipzig former Borussia Mönchengladbach sporting director Max Eber was sacked by Leipzig on Friday evening amid links that he was being courted by Bayern. This is something of a statement from Leipzig in the sense that they say that they're tired of Bayern taking Julian Nagelsmann, Dario Upamecano, Konrad Leimer, Marcel Sabitzer, so on and so forth. Leipzig didn't like the links. Gladbach fans have two things to rejoice about this weekend. One, they got their first Bundesliga victory. Two, the man they considered a traitor is now back on the market. Insofar as whether or not Abel is going to Bayern, we don't know yet. Uli Hoeneß says that these rumors are unsubstantiated, but Leipzig, in addition to chasing the title, are telling Bayern, stop trying to pluck our guys.
Yeah, good.
I wanted to take us through the kicker a little bit here, and we'll celebrate Darmstadt once more. Mit alter Klasse zu frischer Blüte. So with some old hands, some new flowers are blooming. Congratulations to them once again. The way that Dortmund Hoffenheim is described, is the glass half full or is it half empty? Halb voll, halb leer. Lots more commentary about Hoffenheim in there. And lastly, you don't have to speak German to know that it's Beste. Und der Beste. Very nice picture here of Jan Nicholas Beste, who is not just Mark's favorite player and Rune's favorite player, but my favorite player as well, with that awesome Nordic lumberjack beard. that's my favorite footballing facial feature beyond John Brooks's perfect bald head, which is even more perfect than Mark's for heading a football.
Excellent stuff. Thank you, Peter, for that description of John Anthony Brooks as certainly a picture to imagine. And yes, Bester is probably a lot of people's favourite footballer at the moment, particularly in Heidenheim. So that will probably do us for this evening. Hopefully we've covered most of your comments in the chat, Balam, anyway. Obviously, I know you mentioned how am I feeling about Stuttgart. Very, very good and very surprised. And long may it continue. And I think there wasn't one in there for you, Peter, I think, about Kaiserslautern, and their chance for the Spider. Do you want to just quickly pick that up for a second?
Based on what I saw on the matchday vlog, I'm thinking absolutely yes. I'm just slightly concerned that they might get promoted too soon. I wouldn't mind maybe seeing them spend another there, accrue some more money, because they had an excellent summer transfer window again. So I'm really actually, the club management has me quite psyched. Of course, what's a fan going to say? Obviously.
Yeah, and obviously the Pokal second round draw has happened. A couple of interesting all Bundesliga ties. We've got Stuttgart versus Union. We've got a repeat of the Friday night fixture. I think Hoffenheim have got Dortmund, haven't they? There's another all Bundesliga one, Freiburg versus, can't remember off the top of my head, but there's obviously Saarbrücken hosting Bayern, which is pretty amazing as well. Some lovely DFB Pokal matches for us to enjoy.
And Lautern hosting Köln.
Lautern.
Yeah. That's a proper tie,
I like our chances there.
And don't forget Nuremberg hosting Hansa Rostock as well. Nuremberg hoping to make another quarterfinal or even further this year after the fantastic run last season. And hopefully we'll get someone like a Bayern or a Dortmund. Who knows this year? Yeah.
Very true. Yeah.
But yeah, absolutely fantastic. Yeah. So yeah, another good show this week. And if you enjoyed what you saw on the show this week, then check out at Over the Bar FB and at Over the Bar Extra. And yeah, don't forget to keep liking, commenting, and subscribing. We've got a big week ahead for you. We're hoping to drop the vlog at some point over the next 2 or 3 days. And then obviously the the last weekend of Bundesliga action before the next international break as well. So yeah, it's going to be week 7 this week, so we'll have a prediction show and hopefully a fantasy football show for you as well the back end of the week. So keep your eyes peeled for the latest developments on the channel. But yeah, thank you very much, guys. It's been a pleasure again, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye, guys.
Bye-bye.